At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode. Later, there'll be an opportunity for your questions, and you may queue up at any time during the presentation by pressing star then one on your telephone keypad. If you require assistance from an operator, please press star then zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I'll now turn the conference over to Ashley Etienne with the White House. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Operator. And thank you all for joining the call today. We're holding a call with quite a few of our top principals here today to discuss the importance of trade and exports. We'll have Secretary Vilsack, who will lead us off, who will talk about new executive actions to grow exports across big and small businesses, specifically in rural areas of America. Then we'll turn it over to Deputy Secretary of Commerce, Bruce Andrews, who will talk about the department's new data that shows record numbers of exports across the country. And then we'll close out with Director of the White House Domestic Policy Council, Cecilia Munoz, who will close us out by talking about the importance of trade and exports to our national economy and the need for Congress to pass trade promotion legislation. Before we get started, I just wanted to point out that the contents of this call and the fact sheet that we've distributed out to reporters on this call and far and wide is embargoed, meaning it cannot be used until 5 p.m. today. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the White House media office, but otherwise, feel free to ask questions at the close of this call. So I'll turn it over now to Secretary Vilsack.
Thank you very much, and appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning. Last year, the President directed the Rural Council, that is comprised of all cabinet officials that are focused on rural America, to have a particular focus on what has been made and manufactured and grown in rural America under the Rural America effort. As part of that effort, myself, Secretary Pritzker, Ambassador Froman, Administrator Contreras-Sweet, and Fred Hockenberg from the XMIM Bank traveled around the country listening to individuals who are expressing concerns and a desire to export. 95% of the consumers live outside the United States, but less than 5% of American businesses export, and most of those export just to a single country. What we learned from the rural component of all of this is that many small and medium-sized businesses would benefit from trade and are interested in trade, but they face challenges, payment uncertainty, customs difficulties and challenges with the administrative process and the paperwork involved, and accessing capital. While we have had programs of XMIM Bank and SBA and the Commerce Department to address those administrative aspects, more needs to be done, which is why the President directed the Rural Council to promote a series of executive actions that we're announcing today. First and foremost, we understand the importance of reverse trade shows, bringing buyers from other countries into the United States and seeing what is being manufactured, what is being grown and raised in rural communities. So the administration will be sponsoring a series of reverse trade shows, which will be held to match rural businesses with foreign buyers. The Commerce Department is going to set up a national rural innovation team, which is going to focus on expanding easier access to export-related assistance and information and events that will help those small and medium-sized businesses access new trade opportunities. We're going to focus our effort on trade promotion, and we're setting a goal of doubling the number of businesses that will attend international trade shows and missions. And we're going to seek the help and assistance from partners, including the Appalachian Regional Commission and Delta Regional Authority, to focus on this additional focus on trade promotion. Speaking of partnerships, we're looking forward to working with community banks across the country in order to encourage lenders to understand better how they might be able to assist small and medium-sized businesses in their community to export. And we're very excited about a partnership being formed with the U.S. Postal Service under their Grow Your Business initiative. That will take place in 75 rural communities across America. The Postal Service will sponsor a Grow Your Business event. Those events will focus on encouraging small and medium-sized businesses to export, understanding how to process the paperwork necessary to export successfully, packaging tips, and calculating costs associated with export opportunities. The Commerce Department is announcing today, as part of this executive action, the establishment of an I-6 Rural Challenge, which is really going to focus on providing funding for rural communities to build the capacity to commercialize technology that will create the new products that will be capable of export. and certainly showing our interest in supporting entrepreneurship. And we all know that in order for any of this to work, there has to be investments in basic infrastructure, allowing goods and services to get to those export markets efficiently, effectively, in a cost-effective way. That's why we've been focusing in the Rural Council and the U.S. Department of Agriculture on establishing a private sector investment for major infrastructure projects. And what we've learned from discussing this with capital markets and investment bankers is the need for us to be able to bundle projects, the number of wastewater treatment projects or road projects or port improvements, to be able to encourage the private sector to invest in those projects. And in order to do so, we're developing a rating system that will allow us to create an asset class of these infrastructure projects and making it easier for the investment community to invest potentially billions of dollars in these opportunities. Most recently, we had a $10 billion commitment from CoBank under the Rural Opportunity Investment Conference. We also learned just several days ago that Citibank is allocating $100 billion towards infrastructure projects with a particular focus in part on rural America. This is all very important to the farmers and ranchers of the United States because exports are critically important. I will tell you how important they are by focusing on the fact that in the ag economy, 30% of all sales are directly related to exports. Those sales help to support 1.1 million good-paying jobs, jobs that pay anywhere from 13 to 18% more than non-exporting jobs. That 30% of sales number represents roughly the net farm income that farmers and ranchers enjoy as a result of agriculture in this country. So it's extremely important that we continue to expand on export opportunities. Five out of the 10 top markets for American products are in Asia. That's why it's so important for us to continue working on the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, finalizing that and getting trade promotion authority from Congress. We see a tremendous opportunity with TPP to access that expanding middle class in Asia. Today, 525 million middle-class consumers are locate and live and work and raise their families in Asia. We expect in the next 15 years that number could grow by 2.7 billion. That's one of the reasons why we see a $123 billion trade opportunity across the economy with the TPP negotiations. A high standard agreement, greater market access, and allowing the United States in partnership with the other TPP nations to set the rules of the road in the future for trade in Asia, making sure that we don't cede ground to China in that effort. So we obviously need TPA, and in order to facilitate policymakers and decision makers on both trade promotion authority and future trade agreements, we're announcing today the establishment of a number of state-by-state fact sheets that will outline the potential benefits of a Trans-Pacific Partnership. In my home state of Iowa, we'll focus on soybean and pork trade, which can be multiple billions of dollars of opportunity for farmers and ranchers and producers in the state of Iowa. We know from prior experience that free trade agreements benefit agricultural trade. Since the establishment of free trade agreements after NAFTA, we've seen a 130% increase in agricultural trade, and it's one of the reasons why for the last 6 years we've had a record level of agricultural trade and export trade opportunities, all of which helps to stabilize farm income and helps to create and support jobs here at home. So we are excited about this new set of executive actions, certainly excited about the fact sheets which show the benefits of trade, and look forward to working with Congress to get this done very quickly.
Thank you, sir. I know you may have to jump to catch a plane, so we thank you for your remarks again. So let's turn it over now to Deputy Secretary Andrews.
Great. Good morning, and thank you, Secretary Vilsack. The Department of Commerce has been pleased to support the President's Made in Rural America initiative from day one. Secretary Pritzker participated in a regional forum outside Memphis last year, and I had the opportunity to attend one in Cortland, New York in September. It was great to see firsthand both the energy and the excitement in rural communities about taking advantage of the global opportunities to spur local economic development and create jobs. The Made in Rural America initiative puts rural businesses front and center in our vision to broaden and deepen the U.S. export base through the National Export Initiative and its follow-on strategy, NEI Next. Efforts like Made in Rural America are vital to our trade agenda in ensuring rural businesses are able to capitalize on our free trade agreements. both current agreements with our 20 trading partners and those being negotiated with the European Union and the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiating partners in the Asia-Pacific region. Getting these trade deals done will benefit our businesses and middle-class workers, not just in rural communities, but across the country, because to build a future of sustainable growth for our economy and reach the 95% of customers that Secretary Vilsack mentioned, we need to see more American companies of all sizes exporting. The reason why is clear. Exports have been a key driver in our economic comeback. Exports support 11.3 million American jobs, and as Secretary Vilsack mentioned, those jobs pay up to 18% higher than jobs that are not related to export. Earlier this month, the Department of Commerce announced that U.S. businesses have achieved a fifth consecutive year of record exports, reaching $2.35 trillion in exports of goods and services in 2014. We achieved record levels of U.S. merchandise exports in 2014 to 52 markets, including our free trade agreement partners Canada, Mexico, Korea, Colombia, Israel, the Dominican Republic, and Oman. And today, the Commerce Department is pleased to announce that 26 states set new records for exports in 2014. Several of those states are part of our country's heartland, but we want to ensure that even more states make the list next year. That is why the Obama administration is committed to ensuring rural businesses and communities have greater export or greater access to export-related information and assistance. The set of actions that Secretary Vilsack outlined today directly connect to the feedback we heard from across the country last year and in the forums organized by the White House Rural Council. I want to highlight a few of the executive actions in the package that Secretary Vilsack mentioned. First, we heard that rural areas have greater difficulty accessing the technical assistance, information, and federal services for exporting. To address this issue, the International Trade Administration at the Department of Commerce has established a new National Rural Export Innovation Team to help more rural businesses access export-related assistance, information, and events. More than 75 trade specialists nationwide are actively participating on this team. Second, the administration will work to double the number of rural businesses able to attend international trade shows and missions through the help of the Appalachian Regional Commission, the Delta Regional Authority, and other partners. Third, Commerce's Economic Development Administration will launch a new I-6 Rural Challenge. Through cross-agency collaboration, this initiative will provide funding to rural communities to build capacity for commercializing technology. The U.S. Economic Development Administration and the ITA will collaborate more closely to connect investing and manufacturing community applicants and designees to export-related information and services. In addition, EDA will establish a process for rural communities to mentor each other on supporting innovation and entrepreneurship. The agencies supporting the Made in Rural America initiative are also committing to do additional outreach to rural businesses and community lending institutions, as Secretary Vilsack mentioned, to ensure that there is awareness of the relevant federal programs and services, the export process, and global opportunities. This includes the U.S. Postal Service's commitment to host 75 internationally focused Grow Your Business Day long events across the country. These are just some of the ways the Department of Commerce is working to help more rural businesses export their goods and services overseas. Now I would like to hand it over to Cecilia Munoz.
Thank you very much, Deputy, and thanks everybody for taking the time to be on the call. So all of these details that you've just heard from the Secretary and the Deputy are part of the President's larger vision that you've heard him speak about over the last 6 years, because he has been so focused on growing the economy, particularly after the economic crisis that we were experiencing when he first took office 6 years ago, but also growing the economy in a way which helps grow and sustain a vibrant middle class and ladders of opportunity for those who are working to reach the middle class. And trade and exports have been a major part
of our economic recovery, and they are a major part of the of our vision for a strong economic future. The president has been talking about the way that we will lead the continue to lead the world in the 21st century, the way that we led the world economically in the 20th, and trade and exports are a major, major piece of that vision. All told, our exports have increased by about 50% since 2009, at the heart of the economic crisis. Rising exports have contributed nearly a third of our overall economic growth in the economic recovery. And exports have grown more than 2.5 times faster than the economy as a whole during the economic recovery. We now export about $400 billion in current dollars more per year than at our peak before the economic crisis. About 300,000 American companies export goods, and 98% of them are small and medium-sized businesses. So exports are incredibly important to our economic growth in the future. They're also very, very important to American workers and to wages, which have been a major focus of the president. From 2009 to 2013, exports have supported an additional 1.6 million jobs, and each $1 billion of export supports more than 5,000 jobs on average. Jobs in export-intensive industries pay up to 18% more on average than jobs in other industries. And expanded trade has added roughly $13,000 on average to each American family's income, allowing them to enjoy higher standards of living. So this is why we are pursuing the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is an ambitious 21st century trade agreement with 11 countries in the Asia-Pacific region. It's an agreement that includes strong and enforceable labor standards, environmental commitments, new rules for state-owned enterprises, and a variety of other important elements. And we're pursuing this because Asia is the fastest-growing region in the world, and it's a region to which our workers and our farmers can be exporting more of their products when TPP opens up markets and levels the playing field. There are about 525 million middle-class consumers in Asia. By 2030, there are going to be 3.2 billion. That's more than 8 times the projected U.S. population will be at that point. So we believe TPP will support additional jobs and growth in the United States, and frankly, we think it's foolish to cede this opportunity to other countries like China, who will write the rules of the road for this region if we don't take the field. So this is a very important part of the economic vision that the president is working to achieve. And the focus on rural America that you're hearing today is part of an effort to make sure that as we grow the economy, as we focus on the benefits of trade and exports to small and medium-sized businesses and ultimately to middle-class families in this country, it's important that we be deliberate in making sure those opportunities are available in every corner of the country and in every constituency. So what you're seeing today is a very deliberate, focused effort that the Rural Council undertook a year ago to produce a series of initiatives that will make sure that every small business, every entrepreneur has the resources that she or he needs in order to become an exporter and reap the benefits that that means both for their business as well as for rural economies, regional economies, and the American economy as a whole. And with that, let me turn it back to Ashley for some questions.
Thank you, Secretary Vilsack, Deputy Secretary Andrews, and Director Munoz. Let's now open it up to Q&A, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then 1 on your telephone keypad. You'll hear a tone indicating you've been placed in queue, and you may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. So once again, press star 1 if you have a question. And our first question will come from William Malden with the Wall Street Journal. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you so much. I was just wondering when these fact sheets showing potential benefits from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, when those will be available for us to look at or where. And also, if one of you could sort of take us through what members of the administration and President Obama are doing this week to argue for trade promotion authority, that would be much appreciated. Thanks.
First, to your question about the TPP fact sheets, we've already sent out one fact sheet from the White House. We'll send out Department of Commerce's fact sheet on record exports shortly to the folks on this call. But Deputy Secretary, do you want to take a first stab at answering the question?
The question about what the administration is doing in terms of TPA? Or the benefits of TPP. I mean, the benefits of TPP, you know, obviously we're waiting for the final agreement to come out, but we expect there to be pretty substantial benefits for, you know, for U.S. workers, U.S. companies, and U.S. communities as a result of the market access. And that's what we're primarily focused on here at the Department of Commerce, to the extent that, you know, is the lead export promotion agency within the U.S. government. You know, we are very focused on how do we do two things. One is how do we make sure that there's fairness and that we're getting U.S. businesses access to the foreign markets, because as many of you know, we have about an average of 1.4% for our tariffs in this country, and other countries, frankly, just don't have those low of, you know, low of tariff levels, which provides less preferential access to those country markets that our that other countries get. The second piece, though, and I think this is important, which is the enforcement provisions that are in these agreements and how it will level the playing field for American companies. You know, we face this every day because we see the, you know, the rules that American companies have to play by, particularly, you know, in the labor and environmental field where other countries don't necessarily have to do this. And I think this agreement will be a, you know, a real new milestone in terms of setting much tougher and enforceable, because it will be for the first time they're actually inside the agreement, enforceable, you know, requirements within an agreement. So this is, these will be substantial in benefits for U.S. companies, and it'll have a great effect in terms of helping to grow new markets, giving access and creating jobs here in the U.S. for American workers.
And this is Cecilia, just to elaborate a little bit on the efforts that the administration is undertaking. The members of the President's Cabinet and the President himself have been fanning out to both meet with members of Congress, to meet with business owners, and to, you know, have sessions also helping inform the general public about the importance of a trade authority and the importance of these trade agreements and the importance of exports overall. So this includes a very broad cross-section of the Cabinet. This is a major priority for the administration. And the goal here is to make sure that this is a well-informed debate and that the connection is clear between the goals of the trade work that the administration is doing and the overall economic vision that the President has put forward.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Chris Jansing with NBC News. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thanks for doing the call. Just a quick one, following up on what Secretary Vilsack said, obviously knowing his home state of Iowa very well, and he talked about soybean and pork trade, meaning billions just in that state alone. And I'm wondering if there are particular areas or demands where rural America can meet a need in the way that he mentioned soybean and pork could.
So I don't know if Secretary Vilsack is still on the phone, but if not, we know he had to catch a plane. So to give you other examples, I mean, there are obviously agricultural and food products that that are produced in rural America that are potentially in demand around the world, but also light manufacturing and parts for manufacturing, crafts. I've heard Secretary Vilsack describe before that it can be everything from truck parts to pretzels that we produce in rural America that there are markets for not only throughout the United States but in other parts of the world. And as you know, we're in an increasingly globalized economy. And rural America has both in terms of manufacturing, in terms of agricultural products, and even in terms of a service sector, something to offer here which is increasingly available to the world. So what we're working to do is to make sure that those entrepreneurs, business owners in these regions of the country have access to the tools they need in order to reach global markets. It can be a daunting thing to be producing you know, whatever it is, either small manufacturing parts or crafts, for example, to be able to reach markets in other parts of the world. And so the purpose of the trade missions that you've, reverse trade missions that you heard the Secretary and the Deputy describe, as well as the technical assistance coming from the Department of Commerce and that the U.S. Postal Service is going to be providing, is to make sure that people understand how they can grow their businesses through exports, but also have the tools that they need to be able to ship products overseas, deal with customs forms, work to manage and plan for the costs associated with that. So this is really a full range of proposals designed to make sure people are aware of what's available to them so that they can reach international markets.
And this is Bruce Andrews. Just to add to that a little bit, and I'll give you two examples. You know, one is actually from Secretary Vilsack's home state of Iowa. You know, if you've ever been to Pella, Iowa, which is a very rural community, but, you know, Vermeer is headquartered there, which, exports ag equipment around the world and does this incredible export business from rural Iowa of farm equipment. And then when I did a roundtable up in Cortland, New York, you know, I went and visited a lumber company who exports from upstate New York. They source from around the Northeast and export out of upstate New York around the world, from a very rural community.
Okay, thank you. We'll go next to Toulouse Olarunapa with Bloomberg News. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thanks so much for doing the call. My question is about what the administration is doing to try to convince Democrats, members of his own party, who are a little bit concerned about some of the things in the TPP language, including Senator Warren, who she basically wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post saying that there's a clause in the TPP language that's very dangerous. What is the president doing to try to get his own party members on board here?
Bruce, do you want to make a start?
Yeah, I'm happy to make a start. So let me start two things. I mean, one is, I think the president has made a very compelling case for how this benefits American workers. And as Cecilia mentioned earlier, how important this is that we write the rules. We write the trade rules in Asia because, frankly, the TPP will then become the rules of the road, and it's a choice between us writing it and, frankly, China writing, which I think is very compelling to many members of Congress. But I also think that the real potential opportunities for opening new markets and growing exports that is very appealing to a number of the Democrats I've talked to and that we've talked to in the Commerce Department. I think when you lay out the facts of what this agreement is going to do, in terms of creating jobs, opening markets, much higher labor and environmental standards, and including, the president had promised to renegotiate NAFTA, then this will serve as, that function by adding labor and environmental provisions that Mexico doesn't currently have to live with. The other thing, and I would mention, important about this investor-state dispute settlement, and obviously Ambassador Froman and the U.S. Trade Rep's office are the lead on this, but there is a very good point to make that we've had these clauses in bills in trade agreements for 50 years, and the United States has never lost a single case under one of these mechanisms. And, reading the op-ed this morning, there are a number of countries, including a number in the TPP, who frankly don't have the developed legal systems. Senator Warren cited, I believe, Australia and Japan, but didn't cite Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Brunei, countries where frankly, if you're an investor, you want to know you have confidence in the legal system, or you have confidence that if you make an investment, that you'll be backed up by the rule of law.
Okay,
thank
we'll
you.
Take one last question.
That will come from Julie Davis with the New York Times. Go ahead, please.
Hi there, thanks. A couple things. Is part of the aim of these new initiatives that are being announced today to sort of build public support for TPA and the TPP and allay some of the concerns by lawmakers in both parties that their constituents won't support a giant trade agreement that they think could be detrimental to America, American workers and wages? And then secondly, could you give us your assessment, Cecilia, of whether you have enough support on Capitol Hill at this moment, given some of the concerns of Democrats and a lot of Republicans as well to pass TPA right now, and how much of a challenge will it be to secure those necessary votes?
Yeah, so I'll just start by saying that the Made in Rural America initiative actually started a year ago, so those listening sessions that you heard the Secretary and the Deputy described have been going on, that have been led by the Rural Council for over the course of a year. They actually made the announcement of starting this initiative in February of last year. So this is really, this is part of a much longer-term deliberate effort to make sure that we are kind of bringing the benefits of economic growth to every sector of the country, and to make sure that we're being deliberate in terms of focusing on rural America. So that's really the purpose. And it's the result of really long-term work that's been underway over the course of the administration. And with respect to sort of where the support is and where the conversation is on the trade debate overall, look, as you've heard the deputy describe it, look, the evidence about the importance of trade to our economic recovery is really very clear. As the president has said more than once to members of his own party, that he's somebody who has been focusing on middle-class families, on working-class families, on American workers, not just throughout his presidency, but throughout his career, that it is important for the United States to be the ones at the table setting the tone and outlining the terms rather than allowing those to be set up, by China, for example. And so the reasons for advancing a trade agenda are entirely consistent with the president's focus on wages, with the president's focus on improving working conditions for working families. And that conversation is very much underway with folks on both sides of the aisle. And while, we understand that, and the president has been quite forthright, that previous trade agreements haven't always delivered what was promised, the focus on the concerns of working Americans and the connection to the kind of trade agreement that we're negotiating in economic growth is very clear, and that's the conversation that we're having. And ultimately, we're confident that this conversation will result both in the kind of agreement and the kind of debate which will advance the country's economic interests into the 21st century. And Bruce, I don't know if you want to add to that.
No, I think that's great, and I think it's simply a numbers game here. With 95% of consumers being outside of our borders, with a growing middle class, a rapidly growing middle class in Asia, with purchasing power, and with these two agreements, TPP and TTIP, looking to access 65% of the world's GDP, it comes down to a pretty simple question, which is, do we want to give our companies access, preferential access to these markets so that we can create economic opportunity here in the United States, or do we want to leave it to other countries? And I think it's, from our perspective, you look at the numbers, the 20 trading partners that we currently have trade agreements, free trade agreements with, the United States has a surplus in manufactured goods. In countries we don't have FTAs with, we have over a $500 billion deficit. So having these agreements, getting access for U.S. companies so American workers can make the products that sell into those markets is critically important for our economic growth and our economic success.
Okay, great. So that concludes the call. Again, I just want to restate that the contents of this call was actually on the record, and the contents of this call, as well as the fact sheets that we'll be distributing and that we have distributed, are under embargo until 5 p.m. today. Thank you again for joining the call. Please, again, if you have any questions, call the White House press office.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Executive Teleconference. You may now disconnect.